Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Amen. So Luke 12, 35 to 40 has about six verses there. It says, stay dressed for action. Stay dressed for action. Jesus is talking amongst thousands of people. He starts by talking to his disciples in verse 1 of Luke chapter 12. He talks about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. He talks about fearing man. Don't fear man. He talks to them about the rich fool, about getting consumed with possessions and riches. And he talks to them about how we are to seek him, how we are not to worry about tomorrow. We're to seek the kingdom first. He talks about all these things. And then he says, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. He says, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Jesus is coming back. Does that excite anyone? Are we mindful of the truth of the fact that Jesus is coming back? Are you ready? Is your neighbor ready? Stay dressed for action. Put on the things of the Spirit. Keep your lamps burning. We know that Jesus is coming back, but no one knows the hour. There's people in the past, centuries gone, decades gone, that have predicted, that have interpreted, that they could predict in given times, days, hours. No one knows. Jesus himself said in the word that not even the Son knows. That's how much Jesus was humbling himself. Even though he's divine, even though he's God, he was human flesh. He said, not even the Son knows the hour or the day. Only the Father knows. You look throughout the word. In the New Testament, you'll see Jesus even talks about that. When he comes back, he will come like a thief in the night, when no one's expecting it. No one knows when he's coming back. But yet we are to be ready. How do you get ready for something you don't even know when it's going to happen? Like getting ready in the morning for me can be so stressful. I don't know about you guys, every morning, getting ready. I'll have an idea of what time I want to be ready by, of what I need to get done. Next thing I'm like, man, I need to leave the house in 10 minutes and I haven't even showered yet. And I'll try make it happen, but it just gets stressful. Getting ready. Boarding school I went to back in Zimbabwe, we were taught to get ready. And we would have to be ready. But as I've grown into an adult, thought I had it all sorted out. Then you get married. Getting ready becomes a whole nother thing. Maybe they're going to tell you to get ready. Or maybe you're asking them to get ready. And it can cause some issues getting ready. And then you have kids. Oh, Jesus, help us, Lord. Like, getting ready for anything. Like, think about all the parents with their little kids. Like, life changes. Getting ready can be stressful for anything. But that's because there's effort required. There's so many other things that come in the way that consume. But just imagine if you could actually just sleep in your clothes, you know? I know, you know, we all sleep in different ways, but I mean sleep in the clothes that you need to wear for the next day. You know, just sleep in your suit. Imagine that. Then you can just wake up and go to work. Or maybe sleep in your uniform for the kids or whatever it is that you're a nurse. Imagine if you could just do that. That's pretty much what Jesus is saying through this parable about the servants, saying they need to stay awake, stay dressed for action in the night hours. They're to stay dressed for action, keep their lamps burning. So are you ready for Christ's return? He's coming back. When is he coming back? We don't know. So what do? Like, if you don't know, how do we get ready? Luke tells us, stay dressed for action. What does that actually mean? Because it's hard when you know it's going to happen. Just think about it. These guys were being told by Jesus, stay dressed for action. He hadn't even died yet. He hadn't even risen again yet. And then he dies and he rises again. And the Bible continues to say, be ready, be ready. That was 2,000 years ago. We're still getting ready. It's so easy to get passive in that time. It's so easy to not even focus on that. If you knew Jesus was coming back tomorrow, would you live your life in the same way? Would you worry about the same things? Would you eat the same kind of food? Would you play the same kind of games? Would you watch the same kind of shows? Who would you be ringing up to clear things up with if you knew Jesus was coming back tomorrow? He says, be ready. So we're to stay dressed for action. Staying dressed for action is actually about preparation. He's saying prepare. Prepare. Between now and whenever he's coming back, we're to be getting prepared for his return. This is what discipleship is about. Becoming more like Jesus. That's all part of the waiting, part of the preparation. See, the master left the servants in the house, but he left them with what they needed to do, what they needed to know for that time, but there would still be that apprehension of when is he coming back. Jesus actually equipped us through his word. He didn't leave us empty-handed. He sent the Holy Spirit. We have been equipped. We have not been left empty-handed. We don't know when he's coming back, but we know what to do. We have the resource. The Bible says in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus says that. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. He says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Then he says, and behold, I am with you always. So in that statement, he's given us what we need to do. He says, teach people to observe what I've commanded you to do. So we've actually got to observe it. We've got to learn it. And as we're doing it, we're teaching other people. It's like, what do we do in the waiting? There's so much in here to do whilst we wait. That this is discipleship. But you think about when he's coming back. What is he actually coming back for? Who is he coming back for? Why is he coming back? See, that's right. He's coming back for the church. He's coming back for, it says in Ephesians, a bride without blemish. The church corporately is Jesus's bride. He is our bridegroom. The church is Jesus's wife. We are waiting for him. And he's given us what we need to prepare. A church, a bride without blemish. That's what he's coming back for. But who is he coming back for? He's coming back for a people like him. He's coming back for Christians, Christ-like, people that are growing to become more and more like him every day. That's why we wait. Because there's a lot of people that haven't come to that place of even getting to know him. There's a lot of people, all of us, still growing to become more like him. So that's what he's coming back for. Why is he coming back? He's coming back for his glory, for his sake, for his purpose. So knowing all that, do we live our lives with long-term mindsets? Or do we live our lives with short-term mindsets? It's like he could come tomorrow. He could come in 1,000 years. So what do? The Bible tells us what to do. We talked about it a few weeks ago. Set your minds on the things of the Spirit so you can walk according to the Spirit. So no matter when he's coming back, he calls us to actually set our minds on things above and not on things below. What does staying dressed for action look like? Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, come with me to Colossians chapter 3. We're just going to read 1-4 real quick. So as Christians, people that have said yes to Jesus, we have been raised with Christ. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. That's where Christ is. He's in heaven, seated at the right hand of God. He says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. We're to set our minds on things above. But what does getting dressed, what does staying dressed for action actually look like? In a few verses later in Colossians 3, if you just look in your Bibles at verse 12, it tells us what we're to put on. It says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. It's like, what are we to do in the wait? Put on compassionate hearts. Have compassion. Have kindness. Humility. What is humility? Let's be a humble people. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking about yourself less. It's a bit of a twister in my mind, so my wife had to help me out. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it's about thinking about yourself less. What does that mean you're doing? Things you're thinking of others. You're thinking of things above. You ask for help. It's not just about me. We're to put on humility, meekness, and patience. Bearing with one another. You know, those servants left in the household, what Jesus was teaching through that, he was saying in the household is the church. The household is the kingdom. He's actually talking about stay dressed for action. Keep your lamps burning. It's to do with how we treat one another in his household. So we're to bear with one another. It says if anyone has a complaint against another. Do you have a complaint against anyone in your life? Do you have a complaint against me? Do I have a complaint against you? Do you have a complaint against someone in the other row or behind you? Maybe that's why you didn't sit over there. If you do, it actually says forgiving one another. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever we do day to day, every hour, every second, we do it in his name. We do it as if we're doing it for him. Your work, how you love people, everything you do, do it as unto the Lord. This is staying dressed for action. This is what we see when we look at the Great Commission. Teach them to observe all my commands. This is the things Jesus taught. Think about the Beatitudes. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the humble. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the peacemakers. All these things have been given to us to live out whilst we wait. So we become more like him, but also so that others would be attracted to him. So if you knew when Jesus was coming back, would you live the way you're living today? Where to stay dressed for action. Are you ready? Stay dressed for action. Keep your lamps burning. Keep your lamps burning. And I think about a child. A child initially cannot dress themselves. They need help. In the same way, we're to be dressed for action. We actually can't dress ourselves in the things of God. We need his help. We need others' help. Stay dressed for action. We can't do what God requires us to do by ourselves. We cannot isolate ourselves. We are to keep our lamps burning. For a lamp to be burning, for a lamp to be lit, to be lit up, you need oil. So for the lamp to burn, your lamp to burn, for your life to be shining, for your heart to be shining, you actually need the Holy Spirit. That's what the oil is. The oil is his anointing. The oil is the Holy Spirit. So how are you engaging day to day with the Holy Spirit? What are you trying to do without the Holy Spirit? What are you trying to do without Jesus? For your lamp to be burning, you need the Holy Spirit. In this household together, in the church, in the kingdom, as we all follow Jesus. See, the lamp shows you where to go, gives you direction. That's his word. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. But that lamp will attract others. That lamp is your life too. Keep your lamps burning. Oh man, Jesus went so long ago to be with the Father. And you know, Jesus said, I go to the Father and I prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come back and take you to be with the Father so we can be together. John 14 verse 3. He's coming back. But he said that such a long time ago. But it's such a long wait, Jesus. Who is it a long wait for? For you or for Jesus? When are you coming back? I'm waiting. Who is the long wait for? See, maybe you've only been waiting for 20 years, 5 years, 2 weeks. But he's been waiting for more than 2,000 years. That is love. He's not just waiting. He is interceding for you and me at the right hand of the Father. He is consumed in love. He wants to see people come to freedom, come to know him, come to see him face to face, come to know why they were created. He is waiting. It's not about us. It's about him. It's because he loves us. He loves his children. He loves people. 2 Peter chapter 3, 7 to 8, 8 to 9 actually. It says, but do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness. So we might think he's being slow sometimes in many things. But actually, it's the truth is that he is patient toward you. That's why there is the wait. He is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish. He's waiting for you to share the gospel with someone that he loves, that he's put around you. He's waiting for you to humble yourself and ask for help with that thing that you've been struggling with by yourself, so you can come into intimacy with him. He says he's not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Because he's left us all with responsibility. If you have said yes to Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit in you. He has deposited himself. He has a call. He has a purpose. He has assignments daily. How are we stewarding those things? He calls us to obedience. He calls us to stewardship. If you read later on in Luke 12, from verse 41 to 48, it talks actually about what will happen when the master comes back and how he'll deal with his servants. The ones that know what they should have done but didn't do it, they will get a beating like nothing else. They will get judgment and wrath like nothing else. God is going to judge. There will be consequences. There will be punishment. There will be rewards for those that do what he's called them to do. Read it for yourself. The time will come. What are we doing with what he's given us to steward? We're to have a healthy fear of him. That, wow, he's put his spirit in me. And there's things he wants me to do. There's things he wants me to stop doing. We're not to be afraid of judgment. As in judgment day, the last day. You know, the last day started when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. We can get so consumed with the last days. We're getting closer and closer to Jesus coming. We've been getting closer day by day. But it started then. Because in Joel 2, it says, and afterwards, when the Spirit is poured out, all men and all women shall prophesy. Young men will have dreams. Old men will see visions. Every male, female servant talks about the Spirit being outpoured. And then at Pentecost, next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. We're going to be celebrating the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Hundreds of years later, that prophecy comes true on the day of Pentecost. And Peter starts to preach. And he says, and as it was said, that in the last days, he says, this is what was said in the last days. It's when it started. We've been in the last days. Are you ready? He could come tomorrow. He could come next year. But if your neighbor's not ready, maybe he's not coming back yet. Just a maybe. Some people go, oh, no way. He's going to come back at a certain time after all the signs that have been spoken about have happened. Some of those signs have been seen. Some of them have not yet been seen. But we can't just rely on that. You also got to see where he says, no one knows. You just have to be ready. So we have to be ready. Keep your lamps burning. But you know, as Jesus has been waiting all these years, thousands of years, he's actually been working. He hasn't stopped. He's not just sitting there next to the Father, just chilling out. He's actually been at work, hearing our prayers, opening people's hearts. Yes, he did all the work on the cross, and he says, it is finished. But since then, he's still working on your behalf, on my behalf. So he's working whilst he's waiting. So as he waits, he works. And as he works, he waits. And we need to do the same thing. As he's waiting, we need to be working as we wait. As we're waiting for his return, we need to be working. So in what your life is, you know, your life and my life, the Bible says your life is a mist. Nothing but a mist. James 4, verse 14. A mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. That's our lives. Doesn't mean God doesn't value our lives, but James is saying your life will come and go like that. And it's got to make a difference. You get to wait too in your life, but actually there's work to be done. We're not to be passive about his return. For the reasons that Jesus is waiting. He's waiting for a bride without blemish. He's waiting for a holy people, a cleansed people. He's waiting for the lost to be found. For those same reasons that he's waiting, we should be working. It's effort involved, isn't it? It sounds like, oh, it's work. But Jesus actually graces you for it. Jesus actually oils you for it. With his Holy Spirit. Are you thirsty for his Holy Spirit? Do you depend on his Holy Spirit? There's effort required. It's called being a living sacrifice. We're to die daily to our own needs, our own selfish ambitions. Doesn't mean he's not going to look after you. But when you die to your own selfish ambitions, he goes, I can work in you. I can use you. This is what I want you to do. This is what you need to focus on. And then he does the work through you. He graces you with his oil. So it's not a passive wait. It's not like, oh, we're just waiting for him to come back. Because when we're passive about Jesus' return, I'll tell you, I've been passive about his return. It doesn't consume me. It's starting to at the moment because God's speaking. I hardly read the book of Revelation because people think it's scary and it's just like doom and gloom. But there's so much truth and love in there. God tells his story. It's part of his word. Hey, what about in the month of June, you just go through the book of Revelation? It doesn't even have 30 chapters, just 22. Read that, study it, talk about it. Let's be consumed, not in the, oh, it's the end times and the conspiracies. No. Just be ready for his return. Be consumed for other people that are lost. It's not a passive wait. When we're passive about his returning, this is what happens. We actually fall into an earthly mindset. When you're passive about Jesus coming back, you fall into an earthly mindset. I've seen myself do this. What does an earthly mindset look like? Colossians chapter 3, verses 5-10. You can go there in your Bibles if you want to highlight it, if you want to scribble on it, maybe if you want to tick in your Bible whether some of these things you've gone through before. This is what happens. It's part of the sinful nature that we all have, and we can fall into this earthly mindset because we're passive about him coming back. It says, put to death therefore what is earthly in you, sexual immorality. What's that? We're sexual beings. But any sexual activity outside marriage is sexual immorality. It says impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness. What's covetousness? It's this deep longing for something that someone else has. It's not yours. It's not mine. It says this is idolatry. We start to put these things before God. Anything that we love more than God is an idol. Anyone that I love more than God is an idol. So this is what we can slip into. And it says, on account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked. I can say yes and amen to that. When you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. We can't do this by ourselves. We can't put these things away by ourselves. We need the Holy Spirit. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. We need one another to listen to each other's speech, to see each other's attitudes and speak the truth in love. Next verse. Do not lie to one another. Hey, who's ever lied to someone? How bad do you feel when you lie to someone? There's lies of omission. Oh, I just didn't tell. They don't know about it. I just didn't own up to it. But they really should know about it. Jesus is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and he is in us. When we lie, we feel it. If you have the Holy Spirit, you know. God's like, what's happening? If we're not thinking he's coming back tomorrow, we're like, oh, we don't even think about it. He's going to say, well, what was happening there? Seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. This is what we can fall into if we're passive about his coming back. So he has work for us to do. That's why we're talking about discipleship this month, for us to grow in all those things where we can feel like that dude up the front is guilt-tripping me. No, it's not guilt-trip. It's in the Bible. We're all a work in progress, but we actually have to be intentional to walk in that. None of us are perfect. I'm struggling with some of those things. Who's never gossiped here before? Do you know what I mean? God is working. He's cleansing all of us because he's coming back for a pure bride, but he actually cares so much about the people around you that are lost. But if we can keep our lamps burning, people are going to come to Jesus. So he has work for us to do. Discipleship. Discipleship is just about learning. Learning from him. Learning from his word. Becoming more like him. It's about growing in prayer. We are to grow in prayer. Prayer is talking to him, hearing from him, having conversation with him. Wait as you work. Work as you wait. There's so much waiting in life where we're waiting for things in life, waiting at the supermarket, waiting at some customer service thing, and we're just like, oh, no, we're going to wait for so long. Oh, I go to a train for, you know, public transport. I've just been in London for a few weeks where I get to the tube and it's like 1 minute, let's go. You just go in on the sign. All you have to do is 1 minute. And then you come back to Australia, it says 10 minutes. I'm like, oh, man, I got to wait 10 minutes. What about you spend that 10 minutes praying? As you wait, just work in traffic. We get so mad, but God is up to something. So we've got to grow in prayer. We've got to grow in the word, in our knowledge of the word, but not just knowing it, in actually doing it. Are you ready? Stay dressed for action. This is what we need to dress ourselves with, his word. And we keep our lamps burning through prayer. Praying attracts God's presence. And as we do what the Lord says in his word, as we grow in prayer, we see our characters grow. We become more and more like Jesus. It's work. He does surgery in us. Prayer itself is work. But he's with you in it. This month of June, as Yuma South, we've just started 24/7 prayer where we're inviting people to fill out a roster. You can talk to Candace, Pastor Candace, after this. But literally, we want to see every hour as much as possible of the day covered by someone who's just going, I just want to pray. Not coming in here to pray wherever you are, at work, at home, in your car, whatever God leads you to. But we just know someone somewhere is praying. They're not just praying for themselves. They're praying not just for Pneuma Church. They're saying, Lord, what's on your heart? What's on your heart for my community? What's on your heart for the nation? What's on your heart for whatever it is? You give him that hour, he just starts to drop things. You just start to write things. He might say, go to this passage of the Bible. You just give him that hour. But what you're doing in that, the Bible talks about being watchmen. The Bible talk, you see, even in that scripture, it said that if the master comes back, in the second watch or the third watch. Is that what it says? Verse 37. If he comes, verse 38, in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. Jesus is saying, stay awake. Don't go to sleep in the night. That's what he's saying to them. But this is a spiritual thing of some of us, we're asleep in the spirit throughout the day at different times, but we need to wake up to what he's doing. The enemy prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to pounce on. But if all of us at different times on different days just go, I'm going to watch. What's the watch thing about? Throughout the Bible, you see, because of the Roman influence, what the Romans used to do, they had a system at nighttime for guards to be assigned to protect the city, to protect the wall. They would assign someone from the military for a 3-hour period to stand and watch to protect. So they would have a first watch, 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. They would have a second watch, 9 p.m. till 12 p.m. And then they would have the third watch, 12 till 3 a.m. And then the fourth watch, 3 till 6. So what we're doing is we're inviting people, not just for the night watch, but just to pray throughout the month. And we've released a roster, not just for Yuma South, but throughout Yuma to those people that are keen. And it's filling up because there's a need for people to pray, to protect. So just ask the Lord if he wants you to be one of those people. There's no condemnation. It's just a small invitation. But we actually need, all of us in different ways, to grow in prayer. So if you want to be ready, make prayer your business. If you want to be ready for his return, be a person of prayer. If you want to be ready, grow in prayer. The last thing is this. When he returns, Jesus, our master, when he returns, will he find you faithful? Will he find you faithful? Will he find me faithful? Will he be pleased with me when he comes back? And you know, when he comes, if he's pleased with us, we actually see that the roles will reverse. There'll be a reward. I love how in Luke 12, it says this. Blessed are those servants, verse 37, whom the master finds awake when he comes. This just means for us that when he comes, if we are alert, if we're dressed for action, if we're dedicating whatever we're doing to him and we're hearing from him and we're doing what he's asked, that's being awake. So if the master comes and finds us awake when he comes, truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service. The master then comes, sees the servants. He dresses himself for servants. He humbles himself to do what they're supposed to be doing and says, you sit at the table and I'm going to serve you. This can only happen in the kingdom where there can be such a reversal and such humility. He rewards us at the table. See, if Jesus came back whilst you're doing school drop-off, if he came back whilst you're jumping on the train, if he came back whilst you're doing a workout in the gym, maybe whilst you're in the sauna, somebody, if he came back whilst you're playing piano, if he came back whilst you're volunteering here at the Salvos, if he came back whilst you're sitting on the toilet, if he came back whilst you're feeding your baby, whatever, would he say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in the little. I'm going to entrust you with more. Will he say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Will he say that? You see, we don't have to be doing anything big for him to say that. But if our heart posture is, I want to be ready. I'm going to stay dressed for action. I want to be near his heart like we're singing today. I want to be where you are. It doesn't matter what you do when he comes. because it means whatever you do, you're doing it in his name. You're doing it because he led you to do it. You're being spirit-led. Will he be pleased? Will he say, well done, good and faithful servant? Are you ready for him to say the above? Well done, good and faithful servant. Are your neighbors ready? I don't think we're ready. I'm not ready. That means we've got work to do. We need to get dressed for action. We need to keep our lamps burning. We need to see the lost found. We need to be Jesus' hands and feet. Stay dressed for action. Keep your lamps burning. This is about watching out. We need to watch out. We need to be alert, but we need to watch in. What's in your heart? What is happening? Are you ready? We need to be ready to do good. We need to be ready for spiritual warfare. We need to be ready to resist the devil. The Bible says, resist the devil. It says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Oh, it's too hard, man. I'm just struggling with this. I'm struggling. Submit to God. How do you do that? You just do what he says to do. If he says stop drinking, just drop the drink. Chuck it in the bin. Just do it. It's that simple. Oh, man, you don't know how hard that is. Well, you say that to God. You tell him, God, it's so hard. What is he going to say? You're saying something so hard for me? Nothing's too hard for the Lord. Nothing. I'm not being insensitive, but that's how simple it is. But you know what God does? He'll bring the resource you need. He'll bring the people you need to help. You won't do it by yourself. We make it hard for ourselves. We get stuck. We don't want to tell anyone about it. We get so stuck that all we see is lies. I can't do it. If I tell it, it's going to look like this and like that. But when something comes out into the light, the devil's exposed. Amen. Then there is light. Help comes. There are people here today. You're making something bigger than what it is. It's huge to you, but to God it's not. And only once you share that with someone in confidence, you're going to see freedom come. And then you're not going to be stuck. There is freedom available. Are you ready to overcome temptation? Do you actually want Jesus to come back? Do you really want him to come back? You do. I have to ask myself that. Do I really want him to come back? Do I have that longing? I want us to get to a point like in Revelation chapter 22. Where it talks about the Spirit and the Bride, the Holy Spirit and the Bride, which is the church, saying, come. Where the Holy Spirit and the Bride, imagine the Spirit is saying, Jesus, come. And we're in tune with the Spirit and we're saying, come, Lord. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Are we taking the water of life? Are we drinking off the Spirit? Are we getting into the Word? He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Jesus says, I am coming soon. The question is, are you ready? So stay dressed for action. Keep your lamps burning. Father, we come before you this morning. And Lord, we say, may this be a crossroads for us to come to a place where we long for you to come. And that longing, no matter how short it might take or how long, that longing would drive us and compel us to want to be where you are. Lord, we want to know your heart. Lord, we want to hear your voice. Lord, speak to us. Lord, we thank you that you love us so much, that this is an invitation to be where you are, an invitation to see things the way you see them. Lord, consume us with the things that consume you. We pray against anything in our life that would make us insensitive to your heart, things that would make us passive about your heart. Lord, show us if there's any areas in our lives that we haven't given to you. Lord, you are Lord. Show us how we're going with lordship. Is he Lord of every part of your life? Discipleship is about lordship. Discipleship is about friendship. Who are the people in your lives that will speak into your lives, that will challenge, that you will challenge? Lordship, friendship, discipleship is about mentorship. Who are the people in your life that can speak into your life, into areas of your life, and say, hey, I've been there before, don't go that way? Who are the people that you can speak into their lives and say, hey, I've learned these lessons, don't make the same mistakes? Father, would we grow in discipleship to become more like you?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.